I've titled tonight's message, Where Is He Taking Me? Where is he taking me? And I want to focus my attention there on verse 13. Look at it with me one more time. It says, Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit, the gift of God, the promise of God, the Comforter, the Spirit of truth, one of his major functions in the church, in your life, is to guide you. Is to guide every step you take. B.H. Clendenin, one of my favorite preachers I've ever listened to, he told a story to a bunch of pastors and a pastor's conference. He said he went to the hospital to visit somebody who had called. When he got there, the Spirit of the Lord stopped him at the stairs and said, Take the stairs. Brother Clendenin said, Well, I thought it was the devil trying to kill me, you know, to go up them steps, because he's an older man. And he said, But I listened to the voice inside me. And he said, As I was going up the stairs, I run into a man. And he said, Oh, there you are, Clendenin. We've been waiting on you. And he didn't even come to see them. He came to see somebody else. He didn't know they were there. And so he come up the stairs, and he goes into a room, and there's a woman there whose body is got cancer, and she's on her deathbed, and the doctors are going to do a surgery, but it wasn't going to really do anything. And she refused to have the operation until Clendenin got there. Now, Clendenin didn't even know she was there. Here he is. The Spirit of the Lord says, Go up the stairs. And the Spirit of God guided him up the stairs. Because even though Clendenin didn't know she's there, the Spirit of God knew she was there. And so Clendenin was led to this woman's room, and he looked at her and said, Sis, we know God heals. Let's pray. And so he prayed, and he said revival broke out in the hospital room. She got out of the bed dancing, shouting, and excited about the things of God, and God gloriously healed her. She refused to have the operation. She said, Take me and examine me more. Make sure I ain't healed. And sure enough, God completely healed her. He walks out of the hospital room. He gets to the stairs, and God says, Take the stairs. He goes down. He takes one step down the stairs, and the Spirit of God spoke to him and said, B.H., that's his B.H. Clendenin and Burt Clendenin, and B.H., if you'll let me, I'll tell you where to put every footprint on this earth. He heard those words, and the Spirit of God spoke them to him. Because that's how detailed the guiding of the Spirit wants to be in our life. The Bible said if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When we are guided by the Spirit of God, we are literally empowered to fight the things of this world. But when we are guided by our own passions, our own flesh, our own desires, our own agendas, we can oftentimes slip and fall when we are not walking by the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God that guides us, protects us, leads us down paths. I want to tell you that you can trust Him. I want to tell you that He will never lead you a place He can't keep you. He will never lead you a place He cannot keep you. He doesn't take you places and drop you off and say, Well, good luck. He will never do that to you. He will always be there for you. He will always help you. He'll take you places, and then He'll be with you when He takes you there. I'm always amazed when God called me to pastor here and I came here, I knew that God had me coming here for a reason. And when I came in here and I stepped in this pulpit, I knew the Spirit of the Lord was with me. Before you even voted on me there, I knew God wanted me here. And so I didn't put my name in for no reason. I knew God wanted me here. And so I put my name in with that purpose in mind to come here and be your pastor. And when I stepped foot behind this pulpit and I opened up that book, I felt that a rush of the anointing come through me. I knew that it was a sign from God to tell you that this is where the Lord wanted me. And I'm telling you, He guided my family here, just like He guided you here. Some of you are Episcopalians, and hey, now you're Episcopal Pentecostals, amen. Some of you were Baptists. Now you're Baptocostals, and some of you were Catholic, and now you're a Catholic Pentecostal, amen. I mean, God has guided you. He's led you. He's brought you. You're we're not here by accident, but somehow the leading, guiding of the Holy Spirit said, I'm going to take you somewhere. I'm going to guide you somewhere. And when I get you there, I'm going to keep you in it. The Holy Spirit, you can trust His guiding. You can trust Him. Now, some people have a hard time knowing His voice because they have not listened to Him often. I want to tell you that it's not offensive at all, to learn the voice of God. When I was a young preacher, the Lord called me to preach. He said to me, I was in my prayer closet, and I just in love with Jesus. You know, you get saved just in love with Jesus. You know what I'm talking about. You pray because you don't care about anything else. You just want to be with Him. Amen. You just want to be with Him. And that's all it was for me. It wasn't about preaching or any of those things. It was just I want to be with the Lord. And so I'd spend time in prayer. Well, here I am in my prayer closet, and a voice comes to me and says, Bruce, will you preach for me? And I said, yes. With zeal and excitement, I couldn't believe he even asked me. Now, at that moment, though, I had never really truly heard the voice of God. And so I second-guessed it. I go, who am I talking to? I could be talking to myself. I could be calling myself right now. And that wouldn't be good. So I said, Lord, if this is you, and I asked him to forgive me. I wasn't trying to test him, tempt any of those things. I said, Lord, if this is you, please tell my pastor to ask me, Bruce, do you feel called to preach? I don't want to hear nothing else, just those words. Bruce, do you feel called to preach? If he asks me those things, then yes, Lord, I will preach for you. And I gave it right back to the Lord. And I literally forgot about it. I just kept on praying. I just kept on having a good time with me and Jesus. And I was enjoying serving the Lord. And 2 weeks later, my pastor comes and says, Bruce, I want to talk to you. I thought I was in trouble. And so I go into his office, and I think, uh-oh, what did I do? You know, this is my first time about to get scolded by my pastor. And I thought, oh, man, I'm really in trouble. And I sat down. He looks at me, and he's kind of twiddling his thumbs, and he's looking at me. He doesn't say nothing. Then he says, Bruce, do you feel called to preach? Do you know I sat there because it brought all that moment in my mind. It brought it all back. And then I realized it was him. And I learned something about his voice. That when he spoke to me, when he talked to me. And I want to tell you that your conscience is where he speaks to you. Where he guides you. Where he'll lead you. And I want to tell you that the flesh has a voice too in your mind just as much as your conscience does. And so sometimes you've got to be careful that you're not going somewhere doing something thinking that you should do something when you shouldn't be doing it. One woman told her pastor, said, well, the Lord spoke to me, told me to leave my husband and join a singing group. And he looked at her and said, God didn't tell you that. The devil did. God doesn't tell us those type of things. There's some things that we can find in His Word and say that's definitely not God. But then there are those things that where God may say, I want you to go here. I want you to do this. Or I want you to go to this church. Or I want you to work in this area. Or I want you to stand here in this area. And those things have to be tested, tried, and made sure that that's what the Lord is telling you to do. There's nothing wrong with making sure, because you never want to go somewhere outside of the will of God. I did that once. It really didn't work. And I could tell you the story, but we'd be here too long, and so I'm just going to tell you, it don't work. It don't work. I promise you. He will guide you. He will guide you into all truth. And you can trust His guiding hand. You can trust Him as He leads you. And I promise you, He won't leave you where He guides you, but He will empower you. If you allow Him, He will empower you where you're at. If you let Him guide you on your job, He will empower you on your job. If your mindset is, Lord, use me. You know, when I'd go to work, I would ask God, give me somebody to talk to. And you know, every day He'd give me someone to talk to. You know what my goal is right now? I want 4 people a day to talk to. 4 people a day. I want to make 4 people, I want to meet, I call them spiritual contacts. Give me 4 spiritual contacts that I can talk to about the Lord. And I ask God to give me that. And I'm looking for those people. I'm hunting them down all day long. I really am. People I don't know, people I do know. I just want to talk to people. I want to share this gospel with somebody. And the Holy Spirit guides me. There are times I bump into people at Walmart. It's Holy Spirit inspired, I'm telling you. There are times I go to the hospital and I run by somebody. And that one, I was at Golden Corral, and I didn't even recognize her. And she said, "Pastor Bruce." And I go, "Oh yeah, she knows me. How do I know her?" I'm telling you, too many people come in and out, and it's hard to remember everybody. Everybody, and I get names jumbled in my brain. It's just horrible. And I looked at her, and I leaned over the counter real quietly. I go, "I know I know you, but how?" And she said, "Well, my husband and I, we came to church. You dedicated our daughter, so on and so forth." I go, "Oh, that's right. That's how I know you." And you know what? I talked to her. "Where you been?" "I haven't seen you in a while." And I said, "Miss you. Come on back. Amen. Come on back." That's a contact. God guides us in areas. Sometimes you won't even realize He's guiding you, but He is. Now, I want you to know that in His guiding power, He always guides away from the wrath of God. I've done a lot of thinking along the lines of conviction and condemnation, because condemnation, many people don't like the word. A lot of Christians quote the verse, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh." Understand? Don't forget that part. Amen. Many people take that verse and they say, when you preach to them that the Bible declares that we should live a holy lifestyle, or we should be separate from the world, they automatically say, "You're putting condemnation on me." Well, no. Now, I want to tell you something, because I've been turning this thought in my mind for a long time, been praying about this thought. God, how does conviction and condemnation, what is its difference? How does it work? And then the Lord took me to John. The Gospel of John, chapter 3. I want you to go there with me. Gospel of John, chapter 3. And I want to show you something the Lord revealed to my own heart. I want to start reading. We're going to read. Let's read verse 16. I mean, we might as well. Amen. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth in Him, believeth not in Him, is condemned already." Hear those words? Condemned already. "Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now listen to this. This is the way God spoke to me. "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." The Spirit of the Lord spoke to my heart. I read that verse, and He said, conviction is the very thing that reveals the condemnation that they should be feeling. Because the truth of the matter is, everybody who walks in sin and rejects God and refuses to serve God is condemned by His word already. They're already condemned. And what is the condemnation, the guilt they feel? It is the Holy Spirit convicting them, saying, "Come out of that condemnation. Come out of that life of sin. Come into the favor of God." And that is what conviction is. And that is what condemnation is. We are condemned until we accept Christ as our Savior. And the Holy Ghost guides us out of the wrath of God and into the favor of the Almighty. I know that ain't popular preaching, but where do you think the guilt comes from? Guilt is not a bad word in church. Unfortunately, many churches think it is, but guilt is not a bad word in church. I'm thankful when the Holy Spirit deals with me and makes me feel like, hey, I got to do some changing on some things, and He talks to me and tells me right from wrong. I'd be a horrible parent if I didn't teach my kids right from wrong, if I didn't guide them, tell them this is wrong. We have to at times, we have to believe and trust God, and we have to at times do what's necessary to not walk in the wrath of the Lord, to walk in the favor of God. And the Holy Ghost guides us away from that life. He speaks to our hearts, and He says, "This is wrong. Don't do that. He'll speak to your heart and he'll say, listen, hey, that's come out of that lifestyle. You remember when you were in sin and the Holy Ghost spoke to you and said, you are in sin? You felt guilty. What was the Holy Ghost doing? He's shining a light on the condemnation of your life. He's shining a light that you were condemned. But he's saying, I've got something greater for you. There is therefore no condemnation to them that walk in Christ and walk not after the flesh. But those who walk in the flesh are condemned already. And they need the light and conviction of the Holy Ghost. Most people don't like this. They don't like to come to church and feel guilty. But don't be alarmed. Thank God. I said, thank the Lord that he loves you so much that he would say to you, this is wrong. Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah. The angels of the Lord came into Lot and said, get your family, get your stuff, for we're about to condemn this place. And what did the angels do? They guided him out. You want to know what's so sad? That some of his own son-in-law saw him as a ravening fool, a crazy man. And his own daughters died in that city. And his son-in-laws and his grandchildren died in that city. Because he pitched his tent in the wrong direction. But because one man prayed, because Abraham sought God on Lot's behalf, the angels of the Lord guided him out. Listen, what does the Holy Spirit of God do to the lost world today? He guides them out of the judgment of the Lord. And I want to make it clear, the judgment of God is coming. It is coming. We will not escape that judgment day coming. But I'm telling you, we have got to be ready because the Lord could come at any time. He could come at this moment. He could come at the rapture. Could be tonight, tomorrow. And our heart has to be prepared. We've got to be ready because judgment is most definitely coming. The Holy Spirit guides us by preparing us and making us ready. He guides us. Now listen, Christian, even after you get saved, guess what? He keeps guiding. After he guided you out of sin, he guides you away from it entirely. He guides you away from those things. We as Christians, we have what I call patterns. In our old life, in the sinful life, we created patterns. We sinned, and we sinned so habitually that we created patterns in our life. Some people went to bars on a regular basis. Some people, they would just go and buy alcohol. Some people would go and they'd just smoke themselves silly. Some people would go down to the local drug dealer and just get high all the time. Some people go down to the doctor or the white coat and get drugs from them. But that doesn't matter. Sin is sin. And the point is that people have patterns of sin in their life. And then when they get saved, those patterns don't seem to easily fall away. And sometimes as a Christian, we find ourselves dealing with old sins that we've been forgiven from. Matter of fact, Paul dealt with some stuff in his life. And he said, I have to die every day. Matter of fact, he spoke of a battle in his flesh, and he said, the things I know I shouldn't do, I do, and the things I know I ought to do, I don't do. He's talking about a battle in his own flesh. He's talking about a spiritual war that is taking place, and it takes place in you. It takes place in me. None of us are exempt from this warfare. But understand this, that the Holy Spirit knows that our old life likes to come back. It likes to resurrect, if you will. Or the patterns of your life seem to not shake off as easy. And so God has to guide us away from the old life. I usually tell alcoholics, if there's a bar you usually go to, don't drive down that road. I tell people who deal with drugs, don't go by the drug dealer's place. Don't go visit your friends that usually put you in those situations. I tell men who deal with lust, get rid of your computers. Get rid of them. It's pointless. Get rid of those things that are going to stop you from going further. Whatever you got to do to cut the pattern off, the Holy Spirit will guide us out of those things because he wants to guide us into holy things. He wants to take your life and give you a new life. He wants to give you a new life that says, I'm going to live a righteous life. And the Holy Spirit of God guides us from those things and away from those things. And it's the only reason why we go back is because we desire him. I had a man tell me the other day, well, we can't help but sin. You can't help but sin. That's what he told me. And I want to tell you something. Let me correct that. If I can't help but sin, then it isn't me that sinned. Amen? Think about it for a moment. If I can't help but sin, then it's not me that's sinning. Sin is a choice, and it's not sin unless it is a choice. If you forced alcohol down my throat, is that my sin? You tied me up, forced alcohol down my throat, that's my sin? No, it's not my sin. That's your sin. You forced it down my throat. It's not my fault that you tied me up and did it to me and did that. It's not my fault. Sin is, when we deal with sin, we have to deal with it honestly. Because the truth is that when we sin, we choose it. And the Bible says that out of every temptation, God gives a way of escape. And how do you think he gives it? He gives it by the guiding of the Holy Spirit of God. He guides us out of those things. Oh, how the enemy loves to guide us back. How the enemy likes to bring up our past. I think if there's a profession, if there's ever been a professional at throwing stones of the past, it is most definitely Satan. He is good at bringing up where you've been. He is good at resurrecting it. He is good at saying, you're not a Christian because look at where you've been and look what you are tempted with. I hope I'm not the only one that deals with that in Satan. Because he always brings up the past. He always brings it up. And if he could, he'd keep you in the past. And he'd keep you dwelling on the failures and faults. But the truth is that the Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times. And then the Holy Ghost tells him, get back up. I want you to know that the Father does not throw his people away because they make mistakes. You do not serve a God like that. The grace of God is not so thin that the moment you make a mistake or you fail or you give into a temptation and you don't fall through the cracks and all of a sudden you're going to hell so fast. Now, I know old-time Pentecostal preachers used to preach like that, and everyone like, any sin in their life, oh, I'm going to hell. But I want to tell you, the grace of God is not that thin. And I want you to understand that God doesn't throw his people away because they make mistakes. He knew who you were before he ever saved you. And he knew you had many failures and many faults and that you had a lot of shortcomings. He knew that about you. And he knew that he was going to have to work on you. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, it's expedient for you that I go away. Because if he wasn't where he was, then when you made a mistake, you wouldn't have an intercessory guy there. You wouldn't have a mediator there. But you do have a mediator and you do have an advocate with the Father that if you sin, you can cry out to the Lord. He guides us into holy things. He takes the unlearned and teaches them in the way of holiness. Holiness is such a scary word today because we've got people that make holiness a dress. We've got people that make holiness a bun or a hairstyle or a hairdo or the way they dress. Or if their arms aren't covered so long, then they're not holy. And their holiness is based on the outward appearance. But I want to tell you that the Holy Ghost works on the inside. He will affect your outside. Don't get me wrong. I'm not preaching that he won't affect the way you dress because he will affect the way you dress. I tell my daughters the Holy Ghost don't like hoochie mamas. There's certain things need to be covered. Isn't it true? The Holy Ghost will tell you what he will tell you. But the Holy Ghost is more concerned about your inner heart. What good is putting on a dress, ladies, if you're full of anger and strife? What good is putting on a dress, ladies, if all you do is yell and fight all the time? What good's putting on a dress if all you do is bicker and whine and complain and backbite and gossip? What good is the holiness then? The holiness is of the heart. God said, I want you to be holy, for I am holy. He wants you to be good, and God gives us His fruits of the Spirit, and He guides us into those. He leads us into that. He will affect what you wear, but more importantly, He will affect your heart. He will affect your attitude. He will affect your conduct. He will affect the way that you deal with other people. And I'm telling you that true holiness is displayed in our love one for another. I'm telling you that's true holiness. And I want you to know that if there's ever been an attribute that has ever described God, it is holiness. The Bible says that God is holy more than it says that God is love. God is love. And God is God. God gives us grace. But it says that He is holy more than it says that He is gracious. In Isaiah alone, it says 39 times, the Lord is holy. It says it 39 times. The angels cried, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. If there's ever been an attribute that the Christian should be, it should be holy. Matter of fact, I believe today one of the greatest tragedies is that we emphasize the attribute of grace more than we ever reflect or deal with the attribute of holiness of God. We deal with it and people have become grace driven. Well, grace, 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 grace. I can do what I want, live how I want, say what I want, drink what I want, smoke what I want, take what I want. I can do what I want. It doesn't matter. I can speak how I want to other people. I can talk about other people how I want. And therefore, it's all right. The grace, the grace, the grace. Now, I'm not trying to diminish the fact that God's grace is sufficient, because it is sufficient. But I need you to understand clearly that God is holy. And He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. And what is holiness? A heart transformation. That's holiness. He takes us through a process that we have called for ages, sanctification. We start to grow. We start to learn. Now I want you to know something, that when God saved you, at the moment He saved you, you couldn't be any more saved. I know holiness people that wear dresses think they're more saved today than they were before because they wear a dress. Or the men won't, they have their arms covered. But the truth is that you were never more saved than the day God saved you. And today, you're not any more saved than the day God saved you. And I want you to know something, that you're not any more holy either. You're just as holy as you are the day you got saved. You're just as holy today as you were then. Well, I believe I grow. You do. You grow like a little baby grows. A baby is no, just because the baby is a human being. He doesn't change from being a human being. Just like you haven't changed from being saved. The baby grows and he learns how to use his arms. You've learned how to use holiness, how to use sanctification, how to grow. You've learned the attributes of God by growing. And how do you think you learned those things? You learned them by the guiding hand of the Holy Spirit. I can tell you there are things today that I don't do that I did when I first got saved because I did not know better. And the Holy Ghost dealt with my heart. Never forget one day I went out to cut the grass. You never thought the Lord talked to you when you're cutting the grass, but He does. I went out there and I was wearing some clothes that I guess were not exactly modest. And the Lord spoke to me. And He said to me, you're naked. Go clothe your body. That's what the Spirit said to me. And for the most part, I didn't think nothing of it. But the Spirit of God dealt with my heart. And I went and I did what God told me to do. Just because He dealt with me. You know what? I don't cut grass like that no more. I learned how to be different. Now, I'm not trying to say I went in there and put on long sleeve shirt. You know, I didn't. the Lord was dealing with me. Obviously, there was a reason for what God was saying to my heart. And I'm not trying to preach you need to wear this or wear that. I'm just simply telling you, I followed the guiding hand of the Holy Spirit because He spoke to my heart. And He told me that I was revealing more than I should be revealing. And I want you to know something, that God will deal with you on those matters. But more than all those things, the Holy Spirit will take you through the growing process. But prideful people say they are holier today than they were the day they got saved. I want you to know something. There's nothing you can do to add to the work that Jesus has done in your life. If you could grow in holiness by what you have done, by putting on better clothing or not wearing any makeup or not wearing any jewelry or becoming some nun in a monastery somewhere, if you could become more holy, then Jesus died in vain. But He did not die in vain. He knew you had no holiness. And every bit of holiness you got is all imparted by Jesus Christ. You had nothing good in you. There is none good but God. Jesus said it. I know this isn't popular, but let me just say it and I'm almost done, okay? God made it clear. Jesus made it clear. He said, when you've done everything you know to do that's good, everything that you know to do that's right and good and holy and true, He said, at that moment, you can call yourself an unprofitable servant. You bring Him no profit. No profit. But you've done everything you know to do that's good. Now, that's kind of a negative message, don't you think? But here's the positive point. Jesus was trying to help us understand the big gap between our righteousness and His. The truth is that you and I have nothing to offer to make us any better. But Jesus has everything to offer to fix everything that you have, to give you His life. And He took your life on the cross. Basically, He was your substitutionary death. And the Holy Spirit guides us to the cross, through the cross, and guides us away into holy things and away from old patterns in our life. And He takes us into higher heights and deeper depths, but only as we allow Him. I want you to know that the Holy Ghost cannot guide someone who will not be led. Someone who will not follow. If you will not follow, then you will probably not go far. Those who don't follow are often judgmental about those who do and say they're crazy. And those who don't follow oftentimes are sitting back questioning the truth of it all, debating whether they should trust God enough to control it all. I want to tell you that you can trust God with all your life. He is not here to mess your life up. You've done a good job at that yourself. Amen? He's not here to mess it up. He's here to fix a lot of stuff. And if you'll trust the Lord, if you trust Him, He'll use His Spirit to guide you. And He'll guide you into truth, and He'll lead you. He'll lead you in the paths of holiness. He'll lead you in the paths of sanctification. He'll lead you away from spiritual pride. He'll lead you into a life where the fruits of the Spirit are evident in your life. He'll give you true holiness in place of your unrighteousness. But the only way that's going to happen is if you let Him guide you.